Speaking of the Holy Spirit, Greg's prayer just had two things on my heart, really, that Greg just mentioned. One, I've gotten to know all of you and some of you very well, and it just strikes me that there's a lot going on in here, in our lives outside of here, that really can only be dealt with through prayer. And so what we get here, in addition to deepening our faith, is a community of believers, and we can share our burdens with one another, and that in itself has a healing effect. And so, especially now thinking of Katie and others, all of us, we have prayers that need to be heard, and we trust that they will. And the other thing is that this was really more difficult than usual for me to prepare for a number of reasons, and yet, here I am, willing and able and out of obedience, going to attempt to deliver a message that maybe will give you 0.1% of what I derived out of this in studying and preparing for it. It's just a terrific chapter. And as Lowell said to me earlier, I just hope and pray and trust that my words will come from the Holy Spirit and resonate with you in a way that just connects and gives meaning. So thank you, Greg, for your opening prayer. It's just very on target. Starting with the verse for today, it's just two sentences where Jesus is saying, do not be afraid, just have faith. I copied the verse from last week, which is from Mark chapter 4. And it says, then he said to them, why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith? That was Jesus in the boat. And the overlap and the connection between chapter 4 and chapter 5 is stunning to me. And the other thing, but there's a big difference in chapter 5, and this starts to get further into Jesus' ministry, and that is the first, there are three stories. The first story of a man named Legion, whose name is, for obvious reasons, it's talking about demons and that there were thousands, many, is the one that really I want to talk about the most today. But the second and the third story are also about healing and about faith. And those are the healing of the woman and then also the raising of the dead girl. And the importance of that is, this is, remember when the woman in the second story comes up to Jesus in the crowd and touches him and touches his robe. And Jesus immediately feels that. And he's in a crowd of however many people, shoulder to shoulder. People are touching him constantly, but this one person, out of faith, came and touched his robe, and he felt the power being sucked out of him in a good way. She was being healed at that moment. And so this is, in a way, a good example for us of what faith in Jesus and the purpose of his coming here and being sent here by God, what the faith in that means for our salvation. One other thing about fear. Richard gave me a book, and the author, Ray Stedman, makes the observation that faith is the answer to fear. And he was sharing many times, he shared a story about how he was witnessing to a friend. And he told the friend three times, he told him through this narrative of the book, remember two things. Remember, the boat will not sink, and the storm will not last forever. So, beating a dead horse here, but I think you get the message, hopefully you do, that without faith, really we can wallow in our fears and we can really turn inwardly to our own devices. And so this sort of sets up chapter 5 then. And the story of Jesus and Legion. And Mark spends a great deal of time in this. It's the first 20 verses of chapter 5. And the reason that Mark, I think, spends a lot of time with this, there are three reasons. One, he wants to really impress on us, Jesus, God does through Mark, that evil is huge. It's everywhere. It has consumed this man named Legion. And it's much greater, it's much more pervasive than we understand or are willing to acknowledge sometimes. And we talked a lot about this in the last study, in terms of the effects of the insidious effects of evil in our society. And yet, in this, the as great as evil is, and the evil one is, Jesus, God, is greater and can overcome that. Second, the other part of this, kind of buried within these 20 verses, is that, again, at this time, Jesus' identity is being questioned. Remember in the boat, people were wondering, who is this man that can calm the waters? And people were wondering here now, who is this man that this man possessed would run to, fall to his knees, and say, Jesus, the Son of God. I mean, he's identifying him right now. Only Jesus could have that power through God. And then finally, it's really consistent with the theme of this whole study. At the end of this, we'll talk about a little bit about how Jesus sends this man, then Legion, on his way afterwards. And this is at the point where Jesus is on the cusp of Gentile territory. And he's really in the beginnings of, as the story is being told and unwound here, the beginning of the church's mission and the kingdom on earth. And this is an important part of that, as we'll see later on. We were laughing before. This is a kind of a tricky little podium. I'd like to read a little bit from chapter 5. In just a little bit. I trust that these stories are familiar and that you've read them before. But I'm going to pick up in the middle where it said, Jesus said, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. This is Legion is the man possessed. He had been sleeping in the tombs. He's shackled and broke out of them, enormous strength. And Legion then begged him eagerly not to send them out of the country to the abyss. Now a great herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, send us, meaning all of the demons. They begged him and said, send us to the swine, let us enter them. So he, that's Jesus, gave them leave. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. This book here has 7 points that I want to mention to make a mental note of, but I don't want to dwell on it. It's talking about the effects of demon possessions of Satan, and I want to mention it because to me it reminded me of an important point we were making in the last lesson about discernment. And it is important to recognize the effects of evil in our lives, to be able to discern the truth and to be able to deal with these as they come up, but not dwell on them, and certainly not become infatuated with evil and have a sort of a curiosity that's unhealthy. One, there are always in talking about Satan, and the word was used here, an unclean spirit at work, and that today can be most notably witnessed through the pervasiveness of pornography, of some of the lack of morality, and so the uncleanliness here is one of the things that we really need to be able to pick up on. Two, the isolation. The demon here was by himself. And I mentioned earlier, as a community here, that's one of the greatest gifts that we have to fend off the evil one, is that we not be isolated, that we be with one another spiritually and physically. Three and four are just the unbelievable strength of this person to bust out of his shackles, but also the strength of the demons to hang on to this man's heart. And the last one is the personalities of this person. He was by himself as a man speaking with Jesus, and yet clearly there were others, demons, that were possessing him, and they were cast off into these swines on the hill. So it's sort of like a split personality, and that's really what happens. We are torn between the yin and the yang, between the good and the bad, between our faith and the flesh of our human day-to-day existence. This guy, Legion, was really the neighbor from hell. And it strikes me that in today's narcissistic society, where people are trying to get all kinds of attention and are running towards the camera, that Jesus sought out this one person. He planned this trip, remember, in the boat. This one person that needed a lifeline. And that's what he does. Each of us throws us a lifeline as if we're the only person in the world. And he allowed the man to be free of the demons. I wasn't going to talk about this because of the whole thing about the pigs. And as I got into it a little bit, I started to understand a couple of things. One, that Jesus cast these demons into the swine to demonstrate his power. It wasn't just to take the devil out of this man or the demon spirits out of this man, but he sent them into the swines for two reasons. One, cast them into the sea so that they couldn't harm anyone else. But he didn't send them to hell. And the reason for that is this was early in his ministry. And again, you have to remember, it's real easy for us in 2015 to sit here having the benefit of however many years of hindsight and the writings and opinions and gospel commentaries. But back then, Jesus' ministry was just getting started, and it wasn't time yet for Jesus to or for God to judge those people in their finality. And second, is that these pigs, the swine, represented the livelihood of the Gentiles. This was their money train that was going over the side. And so when we get to it later, later on in the story, I think it was about verse 18, the people that witnessed this, rather than being amazed by his power and wanting him close to stay, they asked him to leave. It's amazing. And we think of that and say, how could you? But now I ask you, really? Wouldn't you also? How many times do we make decisions because of our lack of faith about money, about decisions that we're going to make, about advice that we give people, where our motives are selfish? And these people were afraid that if Jesus hung around, that the rest of their swine were going to get thrown over the side, right? I mean, this is how I behave. Maybe you're better than me, but I think this is an important insight into human nature, and faith is not as easy as we would like for it to be. The locals were afraid. We keep getting back to that. There's a comment here that strikes me. The locals did not embrace Jesus because of the disturbance that inevitably would be caused in their lives as he takes control if he were to stay. That sounds familiar too. To really be a disciple of Christ, we must relinquish control. And if Jesus would have stayed, that would have meant that these people would have had to relinquish control and give in to their fears and or set aside their fears, and that just wasn't happening at this time. So this is why this is good. This is why Jesus, it was verse 17, agreed to leave when he was asked. And talk about humility. The Son of God being asked to leave, and without uttering a word, says that he will. But why is that? It's because he has just made a disciple, legion, and that disciple is now part of the new kingdom. He wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus sent him back to his home as a missionary. In the literature that I read through, this was the first true missionary of Jesus's mission on earth. And this is why it's so starkly different if you think of all the other times that Jesus performed miracles or healing, and where he asked people to please keep this to yourself. This time was different because he said that because two things. One, mostly because he didn't want to create a circus out of the miracles that he was performing. He didn't want people to get misdirected by what he was trying to teach. But in this case, it was in an area and at a time where there was not a lot of competition, and Jesus really needed, as part of his mission on earth, he really needed to get the word out. And this man, Legion, was going to be a big part of that. So that's why it's so different and why he asked him to not to keep quiet, but to go home and tell your friends and then go out to these 10 cities around the area and to tell other people. There's one other thing I wanted to get to before I wrap up, if I can find it. I went down a bunny trail, but I think it meant something to me. I want to share it with you in the context of all of this. I found something that I thought was on point about the three markers for discipleship. Very quickly, they're knowing, being, and doing. That being filled with the knowledge of God's will is important to becoming a disciple of his. And put this in the context now of what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples in the boat, legion, the two other sick people after that. Second, being that we don't learn about God from being Bible scholars, from being smarter than the next person. It really has to do with what's in our heart. It is becoming a disciple. It is just being in Christ. And there's a calmness and a sort of a comfort and strength that comes from that sort of just being alone in our faith and in our belief with Christ. And then third, doing, that our actions then are flowing from who we are, and we are able to be an effective witness by living our faith, not by what we say, not by what we read, but actually by allowing Christ through the Holy Spirit to shine through us and demonstrating our faith in our day-to-day interactions. I thought that was really, I like that as it fits with what Jesus was asking Legion to take on as he left there and as Jesus went on his separate way. And so I'd just like to wrap up that in thinking about this story, and think about Legion, the man that possessed it in the first part where he was full of these evil spirits, and the second person where he was cleaned up, unshackled, full of the Holy Spirit, ready to undertake his calling to be a witness for Christ. That, to me, that second person, it sounds a lot more like us. We can all think of ways that we've experienced the power of God in our life, the healing in our lives, the strength that comes from prayer and from our faith. And as such, we are much more qualified to proclaim the gospel, to witness for Christ. And it has nothing to do with how eloquent we are, how learned we are from a scholarly way. We are now really, in the best way, able to witness for Christ because what we have felt and experienced in our hearts. And that will go with us wherever we travel, whoever we encounter, whoever we're going to talk with an hour from now. Doesn't matter if that person or that situation that we encounter is at church or out of church. It's just enough that we have this faith and ability to witness based on that faith so that people outside of here have an opportunity to meet Jesus Christ as we know them. So with that, I'll wrap up. We've got a few questions. I appreciate your time. Thank you.